the new parak at the bottom of Kuf Bet Amud Bet. So a person who suggests some of this we've seen before, because we might have quoted parts of the Mishnayot before. But Omer lechavero beit kur afar ani mocher decha. So a person says, I'm going to sell you a beit kur afar. Question is, what does the word afar do for you? According to the Rashbam, if you had not said the word afar and had just said the word beit kur, they could hand you whatever they wanted, meaning that whatever type of land they could hand you. Now, size-wise, we're going to see in a second what it means, but the quality of the land could have been anything. The reason you say the word afar is to indicate that you're looking for plantable, usable, right, land. So that's what the Rashbam says. Tosfos, right, disagrees. You can see the top Tosfos says, Nira denokat afar l'rabusa. Even though you said the word afar, we're going to see in a second that included in that is sometimes things that are not so plantable or areas that are not plantable that are batel the gabe the land. Those are included. So that's what the chiddush here is. Even though you said the word afar, those items are still included. But not like the kuntres, not like the Rashbam, who says that the afar would have is what protects you from getting a rock, a bunch of a rock-laden piece of land. So that's what you said. So a person says, I want to buy a big kor afar, ani mocher lecha, he's going to sell you that. Hayusham nika'im amukim, asarat tvachim, you have these ditches that are 10 tvachim deep, oslaim gvoim, or bedrock, that is yud tvachim, is high yud tvachim, einan nimdanim ima. They are not measured along with it. I mean, they don't get included in the big kor afar that he is offering him. He can't say, oh, that's part of your, you know, bad luck, it's inside your big kor afar. That's not included. Now the yud tefachim is an area, it's a significant area that we see in other places, in Shabbos. And so the Rashbam says over here too, that the areas have to be not only yud tefachim high, but those have to be 4x4. Right? Arba al arba. In order to be significant, because otherwise they're not a makom chashuv. Right? So you want to have a makom chashuv, you have to have 4x4x10. It can't just simply be there's like one little 10 high or 10 low hole. It doesn't help you. Bachomikan, less than that, then they're included in the Beit Kur Afar, and he doesn't have to go and say, oh, that's not included in the Beit Kur Afar, I have to give you something else. Now, Vema Marlo Ke Beit Kur Afar, now if he says to with the Kaf of Dimyon, Ke Beit Kur Afar, then if you Sham, Nikaim, Amukim Yoter Meserat Fchim, Muslim Gvoim Yoter Meserat Fchim, or Elo Nimdadim Mima. Ke Beit Kur Afar doesn't mean a Beit Kur Afar. It's like a Beit Kur Afar. That means, what does it mean, like? Like means that you want an area that is that size. So the Kaf of Dimyon says, take whatever you get, but here I'll tell you what size it's going to be. It's going to be the size of a Beit Kur Afar. So otherwise, why did he use the Kaf? He should have just said Beit Kur Afar. The Kaf of Dimyon now diminishes his rights, and we're going to see that along the way here, that you're going to, whatever a person stipulates or says, each statement, each additional statement that's unnecessary, we have to measure, is it positive or is it negative? And then you lose something or gain something based on the fact whether it was positive or negative. Now the area of a Beit Kur Afar, a Beit Kur, right, according to the Rashbam here, it's not talking about we don't go and say, okay, a place that is ra'uy to plant that makes a Beit Kur, because the Chamim already have assessed how much that is. The Chamim gave us that area. And that is the area of the Mishkan. The area of Mishkan is 100 by 50 amot. And the Gemara or the Chamim say that's called a Beit Sa'atayim. Right? A Beit Sa'atayim is the Mishkan, the Chatzer Mishkan. The Chatzer Mishkan is 100 by 50. If you remember back, right, this is a couple of weeks ago, right, we had about 3 weeks ago, we discussed the relationship between a Kur and Sa'ah, that there are actually 30 Sa'ah in a Kur. So now a Beit Sa'atayim means that you have an area that's worth 2 Sa'ah. So if I want to know what the area of a Beit Kur is, I just multiply by 15 now. If I know what a Beit Sa'atayim is, an area of 2 Sa'ah is, if I multiply by 15, I'll get the area of a Beit Kur. So basically, if you take the area of the Mishkan, which is 100 by 50, which is 5,000 square amot, right? So if you take 5,000 square amot and you multiply it by 15, you'll get the area of a Beit Kur, Afar, or a Beit Kur, which would be 75,000. 15 times 5,000 is 75,000 square, right, amot. So that's the area, 75,000 square amot. Now, after that, the difficulty is, okay, well then, how do I get it to be a square? I mean, that the Mishkan gives you a rectangle, right? How do you be a square? It's obviously the square root of 75,000, which gives you the area, which it is. It turns out it's 273.86 is the square root. So that means if you have a square area, 273.86 by 273.86 amot, that will give you an area that is include 75,000 square amot. That'll give you a Beit Kuar. Difficulty is that the Rishonim don't have express, right? Or they had express 273.86. So you see here, there's one to the Mesorah Shas has a try, the Bach has a try at it, but they basically use something like, they go, it's 274 minus a sixth plus an amashu, which is between half an etzba and a quarter of an etzba. Like something to that effect, which is, right, because 1/6 is 0.16, 6/6, you know, so that would give you 273.84-ish. So that would be off by the 0.02 or 0.03. It's basically off by 0.03. So they have to express that 0.03, which they have a trouble expressing over here. And they actually don't, to be honest, they don't come so close. They're still off when they do it, even though they're using, measurements. But it's, you know, the basic concept is you get a Beit Kuar Afar, 75,000 square amot. And that, if you want to make it a square, is 273.86 squared. That area would give you the area of a square that equals that amount of land. And again, it's not the production that you're looking for, but it's what the chamim now have assessed will produce that amount. All right, now, Mishnah goes, Tanan Hatam, we have a Mishnah. A makdish sadeo b'shat hayuvel. Person who is makdish his sadeh. Now here, b'shat hayuvel means at the time that the yuvel is nahug. Right, this is the term here means v'shat ha'yovel, not the year. Although here there's a machlokas, the Rashbam eliminates. There was a girsa as well, not only b'shat ha'yovel, but also right, but in shnat ha'yovel, b'shnat ha'yovel atzmo. Problem with shnat ha'yovel atzmo is it actually turns out to be a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara and Erechin. Right, the Gemara and Erechin is a machlokas in Rav and Shmuel. If you're madish during the yovel, what's the status of that field? So the Rashbam says we don't want to be involved in that type of machlokas. We don't want that to be the issue. So he eliminates the girsa of shnat ha'yovel. Tosfos has issue with that. It says most of the svarim, the rov svarim, have the word shnat ha'yovel in there. It was a shnat ha'yovel. So it says he doesn't have a problem with that because shnat ha'yovel does not necessarily mean the yovel itself, but shnat ha'yovel can be the year immediately following the yovel. I mean, shnat ha'yovel doesn't necessarily mean the yovel, but it could mean shnat ha'yovel, right, the first year of the yovel. So, everybody thinks it's not a problem for Rav and Shmuel, and he's willing to be grace the word shnat yovel here. So in that case, notenlo levet zera chomer seorim chamishim shekel kesef. So this is laid out by the Torah. When it comes to a stei achuza, one is makdish stei achuza. The Torah gives you a fixed rate of exchange to buy it back from hekdesh. If you're makdish to hekdesh, this type of field during the time of the yovel, if it's not the yovel, then you have to pay the full value of the field. This type of exchange that gives a assigned value to the field is only in force when there's yovel, and that's why it's b'shnat yovel. So there he gives him the beit zerah chomer seorim. For each beit zerah chomer seorim, he gets 50 shekel kesef. You get 50 shekel kesef. So now this, the beit zerah chomerim is a beit kor. Right? So for every beit kor, you give 50 shekel, and that 50 shekel is for the entire, if you did it the first moment of the yovel, meaning the first year of the cycle. So you do it in the first year of the cycle, that means for the next 49 years, which the field would have been sold to someone else, for that 49-year period, you pay hekdesh 50 shekel worth. Now, the Gemara divides it up and says, okay, that means for every year, you're paying hekdesh 1 shekel plus a pundion. 1 shekel plus a pundion. There are 48 pundion in a shekel. So if I take over 49 years, I end up with 1 shekel, 49 pundionim. So that means I end up with 49 shekel, plus an additional shekel, which is the 48 pundion, and then there's 1 extra pundion, which the Gemara claims in Erechin is for the, to pay for the exchange, for all the exchange rates and for the changing of the money to compensate hekdesh for that amount. So basically, the field is redeemed, the Beit Kur is redeemed for 1 shekel and a pundion per year. That's the rule here. Now, if it has, this is why it's brought here, Ayusham Nikaim Amukim Yudfachim, it has depressions that are 10 deep. Oslaim Gvoim Yudfachim, or right, bedrock that is more than 10 high. Inim Danim Ima. Right, they're not measured with it, similar to our Mishnah. Pachot Mikan, if it's less than this, Nim Danim Ima, then they are measured with it. Ve'amai. Question is, why are they, what does that mean? Pachot Mikan, right, Nidamdim Ima. That are, why are they included? Lekadshu b'anfei nafshayu. Why aren't they kodesh by themselves? So now the Rashbam reads the question of the Gemara here, that if you want to, why are the large areas, the tie, above 10 tefachim, below tefachim, enim danim ema? All he said here is Magdisha field, And when you're makdish areas, right, the entirety of the area is included in the hekdesh. Now, you don't want to include it in the right area of Beit Somer Chumer because you think it's a different field or it's a significant area by itself. That's fine. But in the end, you're going to have to pay hekdesh for it. So what do you want to do? You want to separate it out into two fields? Fine. So it's two fields instead of one field now. Either way, you're going to have to pay for the, right? You're going to have to pay hekdesh for the redemption. So why is, what's the use, what's the purpose of saying in the Mishnah, right, by hekdesh, that it's not included in the count? What value does that have, or why is that relevant? So this is the Rashbam says, so the Rashbam says, this is the question here. That if he doesn't want to include them, they're their own field, then because you can redeem on each independently. Let them be hekdesh independently. What does it mean, einim dadim ima? What's the value of einim dadim ima? So you want to say that they're not, you want to be redeem them separately, fine, so that they won't be included. But they're still hekdesh, they're still the same type of field, they're still in redemption rate. So if it's all the same redemption rate, same type of field, same hekdesh, then why separate them out? What's the purpose of separating them out? Now the Rashba makes a big assumption here, which is that you need them to be separate fields to redeem them separately, which we know is not true. Right? That still stays the issue with the Rashbam here, because we know by Steach Huzah there is Dijon Lechatzaim. You can be redeeming a field, your Steach Huzah, you can redeem it partially. So it shouldn't even matter that they're separate. Even if they're separate, even if they were one field, you could redeem them in one section. According to the read, the question is, right, so how could you classify them as a separate entity, meaning that they have no significance in being a separate entity? That's the Gemara's question over here. Alright, fine. So their own Sadeh Chashuv, so they'll be Kodesh. But what significance does it have? It has no significance. So Gemara says, okay, maybe. We'll say, V'chitema came into Lavi Beit Kur. Well, you say, no, listen. The Torah lays out the schedule of repayment or schedule of redemption for a Beit Kor. So these areas are less than a Beit Kor, so maybe they're not Kodesh, meaning that it only applies, right, Hekdesh maybe only applies to the Beit Kor. Now both Tosfos and Rashbam reject that type of explanation and say no. What does it mean? It means here that everything's Hekdesh. Everybody agrees everything's Hekdesh. Just a question of what type of redemption are you going to use in each area. So you would think, okay, for the regular field, I'm going to use the rate the Torah gives. And for the areas that are not included by Beit Kor, you're going to redeem them at their value, their full value. Because that's the way Hekdesh works. If you don't have what's classified as the Beit Kor over here in the Torah, then you just redeem them at their true value. So Gemara is asking that. Maybe you will suggest, since it's less than a Beit Kor, they should be redeemed separately. So Gemara says, okay, you're going to suggest Lokache, not Lokache Klau, but Lokache with this redemption rate. Vatanya, we have a Braisa. Torah lays out the redemption rate for a fixed value, which is a Beit Kor. Maybe only if he's makdish at that size. It's a lashon that we've been familiar with right before. Letech is half a kor, right? Chatzi letech is be a quarter kor. It's a tarkav. Is three kav, right? Chatzi tarkav is one and a half kav. So even if he has areas that are smaller than a Beit Kor, tamalomar sadeh mikol makom, that this rate applies. This rate is not a fixed rate for a Beit Kor. It's a relationship. It's a relative rate. For a Beit Kor, you pay this, and then you'll take that ratio and apply it to smaller areas. If you have smaller areas, then that will also apply. So there is no, the fact that this area is separate has no bearing. You're going to redeem it at the same rate. Right, you can, even according to the Tosafot, you can redeem parts of it when you want. So what's the value? What's the value of having this be not included? So now the Gemara comes to Gushin, Amar Ravuk B'Bracha, Ma, Chacha B'Nikayim, Mla'im Ma'im Maskina. They're full of water. These ditches are full of water. Delav B'nei Ziriya Ninu. They are unplantable. And so now the Gemara has moved to a new idea, at least Tosafot suggests that this is also the case here. That the Gemara moved here to a point which says that we're talking about Lav B'nei Ziriya Ninhu. That all of a sudden we realize that this idea of Steach Huzah is just not a blanket statement that Steach Huzah you redeem at this rate, but they actually have to be, the fact that the Torah lays out, Beit Zerach Chomer Seorim, it has to be plantable. area. That's to be Bnei Zriah. So once you've done that, now we're going to separate between what's Bnei Zriah, which gets this rate, and areas that are not Bnei Zriah, which will not get this rate. So now, how do you have an area that is not Bnei Zriah? Just having a ditch by itself is not unplantable. So it has to be a ditch that is full of water. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, that works well with the Mishnah, because it says, Dumya Deslaim. Bedrock is clearly unplantable area. So when you're talking about bedrock, when you're talking about Slaim, then we know we're talking about unplantable area. Nikaim, when we're talking about depressions, those have to be full of water to be unplantable. So the Gemara says, Shemamina. So Iochi, the Gemara says, if so, Afilu Pachot Mikanami. If they're full of water, right, then even less than 10 tefachim should be a problem. Just because they're 10 tefachim low means, okay, so you can swim in them. But it doesn't mean, because even if there's less than 10 tefachim and they're full of water, that means you can't, how do you plant water areas that are full of water that are less than 10 tefachim?
Well, we say Dumi Deslaim also. Also Dumi Deslaim, because it's less than 10 tefachim also, you can't.
For us to answer exactly what David says, which is Hanu, which we've seen this expression, Naga'ane Da'ara Mikru. They are the, right, the depressions of the land. Shidrid Aramikru, and they're called the spine of the land. That means exactly what you're suggesting, that if Slaim less than 10 tefachim are included, then ditches that are less than 10 tefachim are also included. Why are they included? Because they are batel, the gabe, the land. Nobody has a piece of land that has been, they took a some sort of file, and they filed down the land, and it's exactly flat, and there's no movement, there's no bumps and no ups and downs. The land, the topography of the land, has natural ups and downs. Those natural ups and downs are the depressions and the spines of the land. They're part of the natural movement of the land. So in those areas that are the natural movement of the land, we say they're batel de gabe ha karka. They're batel de gabe de karka. So now over here, now the Gemara wants, just as an aside to the question, Tosfos says that the word ihochi is misused over here. Because ihochi suggests that because if you answer this way, there's a problem. So Tosfos says, what do you mean if you answer this way there's a problem? Right? Because even if you don't say ihochi that they are full of water, there still is a problem here, which is the slaim that David pointed out are not ra'im lizriyah. So even without saying ihochi that you suggested that these ditches are full of water, that's a problem, there's still a problem of slaim. How are you going to explain that part of it? So the ihochi, he says, is the Gemara sometimes uses the term, right, ihochi, even though it's not the proper term over here. It should be, the Torah should say litamech, according to your reasoning. But even though it uses the term ihochi instead, it's not the, say, not the best choice of words. That's what the way Tosfos is describing it. All right, now, the Gemara says, what about our case? Hochamai. What about our case? Our case over here, mechila. Now we understand in Kodesh, or in Kodeshim, we understand that the issue is that it has to be Bnei Zriah. Since it has to be Bnei Zriah, then the qualification being included or not included has to do with whether they are Bnei Zriah or not Bnei Zriah. There are one except. The exception is when it's smaller than a certain amount, then they're batel de gabe de karka, and it doesn't matter if it's Bnei Zriah. So, but our case, when we're doing Mechira, what's the din? So Amar Papa, Afu Pishen Malayim Mayim. Even if they're not filled with water, they are not included. So, wait a minute. Why shouldn't the qualification be the same? He asked him for a Beit Kur Afar. Beit Kur Afar means plantable land. So if he's saying plantable land, then okay, I understand Slaim. Slaim is unplantable land. I understand why they're not included. But if you have ditches that are more than 10 tefachim, why aren't they included? They're still plantable land. Why shouldn't they be included? I mean, why shouldn't we have to have the same water in them that is apparent by Kehektish to prevent them from being plantable land? Gemara says, my time up. Person does not want to purchase a field that looks like two or three fields, meaning both from a perspective of the aesthetic look of it, but more importantly from the practical standpoint, right? That if you have to work three different fields, he wants to be able to plow the field straight across, right, and not have to worry about the fact that he has another field in the middle that he's got to work that is a totally different section. It's more than 10 tefachim deep. I mean, he's got to do a whole different plow over there, a whole different planting. They don't work with the flow of the land. So because of that, the din by hektish, which is simply about plantable land, it doesn't matter whether it's high, low, all around. It's plantable land. It gets the redemption rate that's laid out by the Torah. Over here, it matters because you're dealing with people. When you're dealing with people, there's an underlying assumption in the transaction that it's reasonable, the transaction. And since the mocher knows that the buyer wants one piece of land, and the buyer wants one piece of land, then the obligation devolves upon the seller to tell him. If he doesn't tell him, then it's not included. If he tells him, listen, I'm giving you land, but there are depressions more than 10 tefachim, you have to know that. If he accepts, fine. But if he doesn't tell him, the underlying assumption is that people do not accept this type of layout of the land. If they don't accept it, then the mocher has got to provide land that is worked in one shot. So, matif la ravina v'adumya d'slaim k'tani. Wait a minute, what about the dumya d'slaim part over here? You know, we used that before to show that, oh, good, ditches full of water are good, so why over here all of a sudden do you want to do me the slime again? Sounds like that the issue is about Nezriya and not about right the working the land in one shot. Where it says, when you say dumi the slayim, it means in less than 10 tefachim. I mean, you have the comparison to slayim actually happens in two different directions. There's one direction which is more than 10 tefachim, and there's also the direction of less than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says that the comparison above 10 tefachim is not a good comparison. There we don't say it has to be dumi the slayim. Just in the less than 10 tefachim, even if it's dumi the slayim, I mean, even if it was full of water, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's included in the sale. So that's where the comparison of the parallel to Slayim is only applied in the less than 10 tefachim side, not in the more than 10 tefachim side. Even though the Gemara just used it as a diuk for the upper side. So the Reshbam, Tosfos, spend time here saying, even though the Gemara used it for a diuk before, that doesn't ruin the diuk we used before. It's just in our case, the relevance of Slayim is in Pachot Mikan. By Hektesh, where the relevance is about Zriya, then it's even applicable by more than 10 tefachim. Now, the Gemara is going to have a layout of how much do you accept. I mean, what's the percentage of the field that you're willing to accept that will have these ditches that are less than 10 tefachim or above, are less than tefachim high or less than 10 tefachim deep? How much are you willing to accept? Can he give you half the field like that? I mean, how much are you willing to accept? So that's the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Trashim, Shamru, Beit Arba Gavim. These areas that are, you know, quote unquote, unplantable or unusable, you are willing to accept under, up to 4 kav. Up to 4 kav worth, you're willing to accept.
The area that is less than a satfachim?
Right. Those areas that you're accepting, meaning that you're willing to accept along with the field, they can only equal or add up to 4 kav. So if you're looking here, again, a kav, there's 6 kav in a sa'a. 6 kav in a sa'a. When you're thinking 4 over 6 is 2/3. So then at 2/3 of a sa'a for a kur, right, a baked kur, which is 30 sa'a. Right, so you're talking about in a relationship of right about 2% of the land, right? About 2% of the land you're willing to accept that is has these types of areas that are either depressed or high up or slayim or unplantable in a full transaction. Again, kor 30 sa'ah, right? 30 sa'ah, and now you're using a kav. A kav is 6. Kav to a sa'ah, we're talking about 2/3 of a kav. It's a little more than 2%. Right now, there's additional qualifications. Amar Rav Ukiva Bar Chama, v'hu shemuv la'im b'chameshet kavim. That is, that they have to be concentrated in no less than 5 kavim. I mean, that they can't be, if you have the Beit Arba kavim in one area, then it's not, you can't have it. That doesn't work. Because it's too significant an area in one shot. So they have to be spread out at least over 5 kavim, and even more, of course, would be better. So they say, no, not 5 kavim, but they have to be spread out over the rov ha-sadeh. Now, rov ha-sadeh, we're talking about a beit kur. Beit kur is 30 sa'ah. If you take a beit kur and you say the rov, that is 16 sa'ah. So it has to be spread out over 16 sa'ah, according to this opinion. So if I take 4 kav over 16 sa'ah, it means that I'm taking a quarter kav per sa'ah. So that's a quarter kav per sa'ah that's distributed over the 16 sa'ah. So the distribution, what's important about the distribution is that we want it to be batel the gabe the land. So if it's too concentrated, you can't claim that it's going to be batel the gabe the land. So we want it dispersed. Right, so if it's dispersed, then we can say, listen, these are little things, you can raise the plow for a second, you can do, but if it's large tracts of area that are not, you're gonna have to raise the plow over large tracts to make it unplantable, then we won't accept it. So now it's a quarter cob per sa'ah. So now the next question, which is, we've established, who should move in, but what's that? Bai Rab Khir Ba'ava, Ruban Bimiuta, Umiutan Biruba, Maho. Now, if you subdivide those 16 sa'ah down and you say, listen, in eight of those sa'ah, there's more than a quarter kav per sa'ah. And in eight of those sa'ah, there is less than quarter kav per sa'ah. How much, when we think about this distribution, how makpid are we on the distribution? Do we look at the 16 amot as a whole? If we look over the 16 amot as a whole, that's where the four kabim are found. They're found distributed amongst those 16 sa'ah. Or do we say that it has to be equally distributed, meaning that even within the eight and eight, if I took eight and eight and divided it up, each eight would have to have their only two kav worth of the distribution. I mean, how dispersed are we talking about? Do we talk about it as exactly dispersed in that manner so that it's so batel? Or even if there's a little bit more concentrated on the eight sa'ah and less on the other eight sa'ah, nevertheless, since the entirety of the four eight kavin is found over 16 sa'ah, that suffices. And there the Gemara leaves it as a teiku. The Gemara says we don't have an answer about that type of distribution. How dispersed or how evenly dispersed do we want it over that area? Now, the Gemara goes through a series of questions, which almost seem to continue, even after a teiku, which is interesting. The Gemara continues a questioning or a process of questioning over here. By Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi queried. Right, historically, that doesn't necessarily mean they were all together, right, or they were asked sequentially. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya asked, Kashir Mahu. Now, if the Beit Arba'at Kavayim are laid out like we suggested, they're over the Rov HaSadeh, they fit all the qualifications we said before, but they're laid out to a shear, which is basically a bracelet. I mean, they're laid out like an etzadah. They're laid out, as you can see there, there's a picture of it, in a circular fashion such as that. So they're distributed over the 16 amot, but they're distributed in such a way that it blocks you from really getting into the internal part of the circle. So they find, yes, it's plantable. Yes, it's small enough, the area, but you've created an area where you could not, in a singular run, plant the middle area. It's almost as if the middle area is now designated by itself. Because even if, when you go, you plow the fields, you know, vertically, horizontally, across the horizontals and verticals of the field, right, then you're going to end up with this area where every time you get to this area, you have to lift the plow to get there. So is that acceptable? So then the Gemara says, Mao, what's the din there? Now, the Rashbam reads all the subsequent questions and Imtim Salomar. Right, Imtim Salomar, if you say that a kashir is a good distribution and it's fine, then what's the din of its tadinin? What's the din of an its tadinin? Right, Mao. Each one, which the Rashbam suggests, that each subsequent area is less and less plantable or less and less user-friendly to the field. So if you plant like an its tadin, Mahu. What's an itzadin? You can see a picture here on the left side, right in the Rishbam. Those two horns that are coming up, right, again, because that prevents you from running across the field. You can't run the straight across the field because now it's blocked the whole field out. What's it in there? Derech HaKalton. All right, there at least they're concentrated. Here, when you have Derech HaKalton, which is described over here as a ziggy-zaggy, right, area, then what's the din there? Mahu. So, all these areas, when we're going through them, the Gemara wants to know, Kashir was the first one. What's the din if it's a circle? Kashura, if they're laid out in these rows, you see the box over there with the rows, but they're on and off on the rows, right? It's the din if they're in those horn-like layouts, then if they are like a Derech HaKalton. So each one, if we say yes to the first one, then we ask the next question, what's the din with them? The Gemara says, take go on all of these questions. Now, this is machlokas here, how to read this, what this references back to in the Gemara. This machlokas, the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rashbam, and the Tosfot, how to read this Gemara. Tana, imaya sela yechidi. If it's a singular bedrock, afilu koshuhu, inimdadima, then it's not included with it. So now, what is this referring back to? When we say it's one singular bedrock, what is this referencing, what is this including? So the Rashbam reads it that this is going back on the Mishnah, right? Amasnisin kaima braisa diktani pachod mikani dandi mima. That this is going back to our, right? This braisa is on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that it's less than 10 tefachim or the high or low, that it's not including in it. Now, meaning that the Rashbam now says, okay, there's a qualification to that. That if this was a singular bedrock that goes all the way, meaning that it's in the field and goes all the way out of the field. It's part of the bedrock. You know, here you can see this in Beit Shemesh. You have large bedrock that's part of a mountain. And the field touches that bedrock, or part of the field goes into that bedrock area. So the verse says here, even if it goes in a kosher, it's not included. Why? Because in order to be batel gabe the field, you have to be surrounded by the field on all sides. It has to be in the field. To have something on the edge of the field that's part of bedrock that's outside the field, that's not going to be included. You can't say that's batel gabe the field. That's another area totally. So that's the way the Rashbam reads it. So then the Gemara's next question is, then, right? So if the rock is found right up against the border, it's a small rock, but there's no tract of land between it and the border. So it's totally encompassed by the field, but it's on the border of the field. So there the Gemara says again, not, or the Brisa here suggests, not included in the field according to the Rishbam. So Bayra Papa Musaka Far Bentayimau. There's a small strip of dirt over there at the edge. What's the din? Is it then included in the field? Or does it have to really be a big piece of land in order to be included in the field? I mean, it has to be plowable land, usable land there. The Gemara says, Teiku. The Gemara doesn't know what to do with that. Bayah Ravashi, Ravashi has said, Afar milamata, but tsunama lamala, if it's bedrock above, but there's soft earth below it. Or Afar milamala, if there's soft earth above, but tsunama lamata, or bedrock below, maho, what's the din of that area? The Gemara says, Teiku. If that's the area that splits between the border and this rock, what's the din? The Gemara leaves that again as a teiku. That's the way the Rashbam reads the Gemara, that the question here is referencing back to our mission. We've left the train of thought we had before about the concentration of the Beit Arba Kavin, and we move back to our Mishnah, which talks about the Batel, the Gabe, the Karka. When we have a Batel, the Gabe, Karka, that's only applicable if it's in the middle of the field, not when it's included as part of bedrock that extends into the field, not when it sits on the border. That's the way the Rashbam reads it. The Rashbam, in doing that, rejects the interpretation of Rabbeinu. So Rabbeinu says that it's going back on Rabbi Yitzchak. On Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, Trashim Shamru Beit Arba Kabin. Right there, he says that Trashim is a Beit Arba Kabin. Here the Gemara says, they suggest over here, that this Brisa comes to teach you that if those four Kabin are all one bedrock, right, Einin Dadin, that they're not included in it. Right? Even though, Afagav, the Ein Gvoim Gimel. Even if they're not even three tefachim high, they're not batel. So what the Rabbeinu do is they actually create a new category, which is that there is less than three tefachim, right? Between three and ten tefachim, and then above ten tefachim in that area. They make actually have three different categories. What does that mean? That you'll have categories that are less than ten tefachim, which will be included in the land as long as they qualify to Beit Arba Tvachim. And as long as they're Beit Arba Tvachim, they're spread out. Then you'll have less than three Tvachim. Now, generally, less than three Tvachim is Batel Gabe Karka. It doesn't matter what it is, right? It's all Batel Gabe Karka. But over here, if it's a single rock or bedrock that is included, it's one big Sel Yechidi, even if it's less than three Tvachim, it's not Batel. That's the way they read it, the Gemara over here. So I'll read it to you. V'hashtei atche b'raita l'meimar, di'avu hanu arbat kabim sela achad, if they're one piece of bedrock, these four kabim, afilu koshu, ein edemim, they're not included. What does it mean, koshu? Lomar afagav de'ein gvoim gumo lo batile. So if you have these four kabim altogether, even though they're less than three tefachim, which means they should be batel l'gabe karka no matter what, they're not included. And the Rashbam rejects it because he says that they just made up a new category in measurement. Until now, we only knew of one category of measurement, above 10 tefachim and below 10 tefachim. They all of a sudden introduced this new category called above 3 tefachim and below 3 tefachim. Where did that ever come from? Where did they ever find such a distinction in the Gemara? The Gemara doesn't have such a distinction. So the Rashbam rejects that explanation of the Rabbeinu Gershom. On the other hand, his brother, the Rabbeinu Tam, offers a third possibility, right? And that is in the Tosfot that's found over here. Perish Rabbeinu Tam, Sela Yechidi, Hainu Sheyesh Lo Shem Levai. Sela Yechidi is not talking about that it's a singular bedrock, but it's a Sela Yechidi, meaning that it has significance. It has significance because it's identified as, you know, right, the big rock or the camel rock. It has some sort of name that gives it significance by itself. So if it's a Sela Yechidi, then even if it's in the Emsa Sadeh, even if it's in the middle of the field, it doesn't get counted because it has Chashivut. The whole idea of when is bedrock included, or when is sel included, or when are these nikayim included, is when they're batel de gabe karka. If it has its own name, then it's no longer batel de gabe karka because it has significance, and it won't be batel de gabe de karka. So therefore, the Menu Tam suggests that the girsa is sheishlo beit rova. The girsa here is not kosher but beit rova. V'achi to bishalmi v'kaya hat amrin anel tershim shemu beit kadal kabin. Goes back to what we said before, tershim is beit kabin. So he agrees with their right? The Avinu Gershom with the Rabbeinu of the Rashbam, that it's referring back to Rabbi Yitzchak, but he explains it differently. He doesn't explain that there's some sort of thing with the three tefachim and a ten tefachim. Then he doesn't say no. He just says that if it has its own, even if you have the distribution of Rabbi Yitzchak, if it has, right, if the sela yechidi, that it's all one sela, even if it's not yei gadol, ela beit ruvad, delekat dal kabim, ve'in acharim nami, shiyu meshlimim la'arba kabin, afilu achinim didimimah. That even if it's one bedrock, and it doesn't have, it's not so big, right, except for a beit ruvah, that's all it is, it's ruvah kav, at the level of ruvah kav, if it has a shem by itself, then it's, right, not included in the field, because it has a shem yechidi or tzeli yechidi. Because it's a singular bedrock that it spans over a beit ruvah, ruvah kav, right, that will not be included because of its significance by itself. All right. Now the next Mishnah has expressions that we'll get into in the Gemara also. Beit kor afar ani mocher lecha mida bechevel. Right, so now, not only does he say beit kor afar, but he added the term mida bechevel. So now that he added something that wasn't necessary, what does mida bechevel tell you? Pichet kosho yinache. If he gave less than he was supposed to, he has to take down the price. Hotir kosho, if he gave more, yachzir. He has to give back the land. Because mida bechevel was unnecessary. The fact that he said mida bechevel means that you're giving the seller, is giving the buyer, saying exact. I'm talking exactly big court. You want to give me exactly big court? All right. You take out your string, you're going to measure it. If it's off by any amount, you basically sold them the field, says big court. Then they're going to go out and measure it. If it's off by any amount, they'll have to adjust the price based on how much it's off. So this is the other way. This is unnecessary language, but it's to his, what, the detriment of the buyer, where he says, if it's off a little bit, don't worry about it. A little more, a little less, no worries. Right? So then, afilu pichet ruvah l'sela, right? Even if he has ruvah akav, l'sa'ah, thank you, ohotir ruvah l'sa'ah, or he gave an additional ruvah akav l'sa'ah, higiyo. So we actually quoted this Mishnah earlier, which means basically 30 times a quarter, right? So 30 times a quarter sa'ah, which is 7.5, right? 7.5 kav. So up to 7.5 kav, he's willing to accept. Meaning that if you're off in the beit kor that he sells him up to 7.5 kav, that is fine. That works. And that means not just in a beit kor, but even in less than a beit kor. When you go less than a beit kor, that same ratio will apply, which is 7.5 kav to a, 7.5 kav to a beit kor. And that's why the Mishnah expressed it in that way, which is beit rova, right, David? That's why the Gemara says, rova l'sa'ah. Because they want to say, even less than a beit kor has application, this ratio. Now, yoter mikan, what happens if it's more than that? He gave him less than that, he was off by more than that amount, he gave him too little land, or he gave him too much land. Then yaseh cheshbon. He has to do a calculation. Now, if it's he gave him too little land, right, there's only one thing to do, and that's to refund part of the price to do. But, ma'o makzir lo. What does he have to give back if it was too much land? He gave the buyer too much land, and now the buyer has to give it back. So he has to give him back ma'ot. He has to give him back the money, the value worth. And if the mocher, if the seller wants, he can get land back. So then why does the Mishnah say that he gets money back? To give the mocher the upper hand here, which means that the seller gets to make the decision. If he gave too much land to this individual, above 7.5 kav for per beit kor, he was too generous, he gave him too much land when he sold them it, then they have to give back, either if the seller wants money, cash back, he can ask for cash back, because what's he going to do with the little tract of land that's not significant, or you can ask him back for the land itself. It's the choice of the mocher. Because truthfully, the land belongs to the mocher. He gave him too much land, it really belongs to the mocher. So the mocher has the right to say to, listen, give me my land back. But he also has the right to say, give me money, and that's what the Mishnah says, that he still has the right to ask for money instead of the land. The lama, because in this case, where he has the koach, the mocher, is because it's above 7.5 kav, when you reach beit tishakabin, then it's a sadeh bifnei atzma. It's its own field. It has its own significance. Since it has its own significance, then he has to give it back. Ubigina, in a garden, which this, when something is considered a significant garden, is Beit Chatzia Kav. It's an area of Chatzia Kav, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Beit Rova Kav. Makzir lo etzakarka. Then he gives him back the land, because then it has significance in and of itself. Velo etzarova bilvad, who makzir, not just the area that he over, right, gave, does he give back? Ela etzakolam mutar, all the extra. So once you're already refunding the amount, you don't just refund to get back down to the threshold, you refund the entirety of the amount. So what actually come out from the Mishnah is that you have actually three areas, or three types of thresholds here. There's a threshold which is less than 7.5 kav per quart. In that area, there is no refund, everybody accepts it, right? That's a forgiven, an area that's forgiven. Then we have up until, right, above that, the 7.5, all the way to 9, right, up to that area. Then you do a cheshbon. You do a cheshbon, and he has a right, the mocher, the seller has a right to get back land or money. So anything between 7.5 and 9 kabin, he has the right to get back either cash or the land. Then, once it's above 10 kabin, once it's above an area that is significant land, then you get back karko, that's it. He gives you back land because it's significant land. It's a sadeh already, he can give you back the land, there's no money involved. So those are the three stages. Less than 7 tvachim is v'chila. Between 7.5 and 9 is the choice of the mocher. He can either take land or he can take money. Above 10 kabin, then for sure he gets back land because now you have a sadeh over here. So that's another question about it. So Gemara says, Ibayelahu beit kur stam amai. He just says Beit Kur, what's the din? I mean, over here you have Beit Kur Afar when he says Chevel, which is a statement of exactitude. Then he said Beit Kur Afar with a Pachot or Yoter, so that's not an estimate. Now what happens if he just says Beit Kur Afar? What does he get? So, Samamai, Tashma, Beit Kur Afar Nimochelach Amida Bechevel. So, Pachot Koshu, Yinache, Yeter Koshu, right, Yachzir, Hastama, right, Bahen, right, then if he was Stama, then it would have been, Kahin Cheser Kahin Yeter Dami. If he just said it's Stam, it would mean that he takes, he forgives what's there. So Mar says then, well, Hema Seifa, what are you going to do the other half of the Mishnah? Right, Im Amar Lo Hein Cheser Hein Yeter Afilo Pichet Rov Valasah Otir Rov Valasah. Yo, there's a certain amount of forgiveness. Hastama. If it was Stam, it sounds like Kibida Bechevel Dami. Bimida Chevel Ela Meha Leka Lamashu Mimina. From this, from that part, our Mishnah, you cannot be medayek, you cannot draw any conclusions. Now the Rashbam in our Mishnah says over here, why is it that when he says mida b'chevel, that he has to give it back, he has to refund it? Right? Don't we have a principle that there is ein onah b'karkot? There is no onah b'karkot. So why does he have to give it back? Even if he's off, why does he have to give it back? Now, if you're going to quote me, which we just had before, Rova, I'm a Rova, Chol Shebemida Mishkal, right, or Minyan, then there is Ona. Anything that's done by Mida Mishkal Minyan, there's Ona because there's an exact count, and there is Ona. So you want to apply that? So the Rashbam says that doesn't apply to Karka. It only applies to Metaltulin. So since it doesn't apply to Karka, so there's no Ein Ona'ah, Rova doesn't apply to Karka, so why do you have to return the money over here in the Mishnah? So the Rashbam says, because it's Mutet. It's a misleading. He misled him. It's not a problem of Ona over here. It's that he lied to him. He said to him, I'm going to measure. It's measured exactly. So when you say it's measured exactly, that's deception. So deception, we can return. That you have to return the amount that's more or less. Not because of Ona, not because of Mida Mishkal Minya, but because of simply a problem of Mutate. There's a mistake in the transaction. Tosfos takes the Rashbam to that. The Rashbam's on the Mishnah. Tosfos says, wait a minute. First of all, he says it again, because of the sharpness of the Rashbam, he missed the Gemara and Kiddushin. The Gemara and Kiddushin clearly applies Rava to land. Rava does apply to land. So if Rava applies to land, that's the problem over here. The problem over here. So why, if Rava applies to land, does he not have to, why don't we say that it's a Mekach Tos? Forget about, right, he has to make up the differential over here. Why is he making up the differential? So there's a Tosfos on the top here of the Yomo that says, the Rava Irik Shemadadu Vit Oba Midalach, that the Rava is discussing where he cheats him in the measurement. He uses a Chevel that's not the right size. He does something that is, right, active deception. So in active deception, then you have a Mekach Taut of a Hocha. In our case over here, Lo Madadu Adayin Elo Bavayin Lim Dot. It's not that they measured it, and he just says to him, listen, I'm going to give you a Beit Kur Afar Midah B'Chevel. So, Umetchila, Hayinah Yam Yadeo, Sheinu Mekuvan. Everybody knows that an area is not exact, Kolchach, Shalom Pachot Yoter. Everybody knows that when you come to an area that he says to you, listen, here's a Beit Kur Afar, that it wasn't measured out, like to the exact millimeter. So everybody knows that. So when you come to measure it, then you... exactly. Well, adjust the price based on how much it's off. That's what he's suggesting. Not that he's deceiving you and saying, listen, I'm giving you a big core of fire. It's really not a big core. That's what Rava, when Rava talks about that, he says, if you deceive the person, you tell him big core, and it's not a big core, then you have to refund the transaction. There's no transaction here. But when you present it as a big core before it's measured and say, listen, we know it's not going to be exact, but I'm offering you the exactitude. So if that's the case, our price is based on an exact big core of fire. We'll adjust the price based on whatever it's off by. So that's what Tosa suggests over here, why the problem of Onoah doesn't appear here and why the transaction is not dissolved, whereas the Rashbam has, because he doesn't think Rava applies by... by the case, says here that it has to be a case that it was that there's a ta'ut here. But Tosfos doesn't want to go the root of ta'ut, because ta'ut sounds like mekach ta'ut. Mekach ta'ut means that you undo the whole transaction. Because the Rashbam is saying that the ta'ut here just allows you to adjust the price, but not the dissolve the entirety of the transaction. Okay, we'll stop here.